So, I sort of just looked back a little bit this last day or so. There are so many good things that I can see what God has done. And I can look back towards the beginning of the year when we went to Cuba, and God began a work in Cuba, and it was so exciting for us, and we just thank God for the blessings that were there in Cuba. Look back at when we took a team out to Romania, and when we saw the people being saved, people being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the work has continued, and it's just exciting. There's that promise. He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. He's always with us. And even now, as this last month, we've been in these last stages of the purchase of this building. And I remember one Sunday in November, 25 years ago, Grace and I was at a leaders' conference. It was called the Gathering of Eagles. It was. It didn't live up to Gathering of Eagles. It was a bit like the Gathering of Buzzards. There were leaders in competition with one another. And I just stood back. And they asked me to preach during one of the sessions, and I just made a decision that I just didn't feel it was right, so I excused myself. But then the local pastor asked me to minister at his church on the Sunday evening after the gathering of the eagle buzzards, and the power and the presence of God just came down. And it was tremendous to see, and people were just being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the presence of God was just moving. It was an experience to some degree that was somewhat a little bit fresh to me. Some of you will have heard of, just forgot his name, he was an American where, literally where he came, there just the power of the Holy Spirit just began to flow. No, it wasn't Shambach, it's more recent anyway. It doesn't matter, name's not a matter. And we began to experience that in that meeting. And there were people just beginning to laugh. Rodney Howard Brown, I think it might have been. And the people were just beginning to laugh in the spirit, and it's like, wow, Lord, what are you doing? I wasn't doing anything, that was a certainty. But I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the move of God. And after service had finished, the local church prophet grabbed the microphone and came to us and said, I've got a word from God for you. And he told us he saw two buildings, one a church-like building and one a school-like building. And that God had set the church on one side for us, and God had provided the finance. So when we came home with a determination to look for the building. And on and off, we've spent 18 years looking for a building. Is that not right? We've looked at different buildings, we've even tried to buy different buildings, but every door was locked, was sealed, and was bolted. And God said, that's not the building. And then 5 years ago, I was getting washed, as I do on a morning, just to make sure you understand that. And I looked in the mirror and I noticed I'd got some grey hairs. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, maybe the prophet missed it this time. Now bear in mind that this prophet had also, I'd spoken to him some years later about something, a dream I'd had, and he gave me the absolute bang on interpretation. It was just amazing to see it come to pass. So I know this guy's not flaky. I know he's not one of these guys that just simply says the first thing that comes into his head and makes it sound good so that everybody feels good. It's not about a feel-good factor, it's about a God factor. We're about God factors, not feel-good factors. If you've got God, you'll feel good. Right? So I don't need to give you a feel-good factor, I need to give you God and you'll feel good. Right? Amen? Happy with that? So, finally I said to the Lord, well, maybe it's not going to happen. And we had plans. We all make plans, and we were going on a missions trip to Romania in the May. And God spoke clearly to me one morning, said, you're not going. And I said, I am. Being stubborn as I am, I said, I am. I said, all the plans are made, the people are expecting us, we're going. He said, you're not going. I said, I am. He said, you're not. I said, I am, and that's it, right? So, I am had another idea. Graham was going with us. A few days later, Graham rang me and said, can't go on the trip. My work has made a mistake with my holidays and messed them up. So I just looked up and said, okay, Lord, we're not going. I understand. So we cancelled. On the very week that we should have been in Romania. Now listen to this carefully. On the very week that we should have been in Romania, Graham finds out that this building had been empty for 12 months. He calls me and he tells me there's a church in England that has been empty for 12 months in intake. I had no idea this church existed. And I've lived in Doncaster now for 46 years. Didn't know it existed. At the same time, we got some Nepalese families coming to join us in the church that we were meeting in. And a lot of them live in this area. It's like, wow, okay. And so the next day I made a phone call and spoke to the minister in charge of this building. I called him at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the minister said to me, and I shared my vision of what I wanted to see God doing, what I believed God was saying He was going to do. And I shared the vision, and she said to me, she said, I've just finished praying about that building, and you have told me everything that I have prayed. She said, it's like a Cornelius experience. And she said, but at 2 o'clock this afternoon, there is to be a meeting to finally close the building. We don't know what to do with it. The Archdeacon of Doncaster was in that meeting. She shared the phone call. He said, I want to meet this man. I met him a few days later. We met for 2 hours, and after 1 hour, he just said to me, so when would you like to move in? I mean, I just did not know whether to jump up and down. I did not know whether to cry. I just was like blown away. But I should know that God turns up. I should know that God always delivers. The Archdeacon said, well, it'll probably take us 12 months for you to buy the building, because it was his idea to sell it to us. He wanted to sell it to us, and I was totally in agreement with that. But things got taken out of his hands, and it took four and a half years. They put a value on this building, put the market value on it, and rang me and said, offer around this amount of money and you'll probably get it. So I thought, no, I'm not offering that amount neither. I'm not offering that much money. So I sent the leadership away to pray. And they came back, and we all came back with figures, and we added them all together and divided them, and it came to the figure that God had gave me. So we offered them like 5% of the market value of the church. And they said yes. We couldn't afford the full market value, but God had already told us 25 years earlier, it's yours. We knew it was ours. We didn't know it existed. So if you need to be encouraged about walking in faith, come and see me. Because Grace and I know how to walk for at least 25 years believing a promise. Suddenly I realized, God, well, you know, Abraham got a promise, didn't he? How long did he have to walk? 25 years. Hang on, God, I hope this is not going to be a, you know, 25-year cycle. But, you know, when God says yes, when God makes a promise, you have to hold on to that promise. You have to remind him of that promise. You have to claim that promise. You have to thank God for that promise. You have to see that promise coming to pass. Oh, by the way, this is not the message. This is just to encourage you to, you know, we are finishing this year with the promise of God, for Grace and I in particular, being fulfilled. I have the paperwork. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We possessed the land 4 years ago, just over. We've taken the city. But there is much land to possess. God is looking for each and every one of us to believe God in His promise. Believe God that He is able to do that which He has promised far more exceedingly and abundantly what we can even think and understand and believe for. Amen. Isaiah comes to mind, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. I just as I was sat down here a few minutes earlier, I suddenly remembered that when I was in Bentley Pentecostal Church, right back in the late 60s, I was involved in building a church, then had a vision to build a community centre, which I gave my job up to do, and that was my beginning of my journey, setting out in full-time ministry for God. And I remember having finished that community centre, I remember one of the church leaders saying, wait, why don't we build a bigger church? And I just looked at him and said, that's the last building I am building. I am not building another building. You know, it's built. I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. But I do have a vision to build another building, and sadly, you know, it's I've been reinvigorated, and I see in the future on the piece of land behind us another building that we're going to put up. We're going to affect the youth in this area. We're going to take them captive for Jesus. We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. But I need people to stand with us. I need people to catch the vision. I need people that are going to sacrifice for the visions of the things of God and the promises of God. Because God does not want to see intake going to hell. God wants to see intake saved, cleansed, healed, and made whole. And God is looking for a church that is empowered. You know, I mean, we've sung a range of songs. We've sung old, ancient, new. And they all change. We go through cycles. The Holy Spirit is the same. Jesus is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. The Word of God does not change. I don't care what the law of the land says, the Word of God does not change. I don't care what laws Parliament puts through, the Word of God does not change. Just because man wants to make things okay for man, that is not what God is doing. This Word is a true Word. This Word was not given by a selfish God. It was given by a loving God. The laws of our land are often done out of selfish self-gain for others. that the Word of God is for, from a loving God who's seeking to save the lost. Amen? Amen. Well, let's turn. Did we get to Acts 19 yet?
Yes.
Wonderful. Praise God. Acts 19 and verse 8. And this is Paul. And he's at Ephesus. And he entered into the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew himself and took others away. The disciples reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus. Verse 10. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And the law and God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. So the handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out from them.
Amen.
Wow. Today, we serve a God who doesn't change. We serve a God who is alive. We serve a God who is all-powerful and all-loving. I remember going out on ministry with a man called Arthur Dean. And I remember he would often share testimony of things that happened in his own life and experience. And I remember him saying that there was somebody, a young boy who was sick somewhere in this country, and the family had telephoned Arthur and said, "Would you pray for our son? He's in desperate need. He's about to die." And so Arthur said, "We'll do more than that." And they took a handkerchief, they laid hands on it and prayed for it, and they sent it by express mail. They laid it on the child was instantly healed. Amen. There is presence. The presence and the power of God is tangible. It needs to be in the church today. People today need to feel the tangible presence of a living God. I know when we were in Bentley, when as God was calling Grace and I into full-time ministry, we used to take our young people away. I say our young people, they were the churches, but they were like our children. Yeah, they were. And they're still our kids. We still keep in contact with them. And we used to take them away on weekends. I remember we went away for a week to a place called Skendalby Hall. Still around, it's out towards Skegness. It was bought by a Christian couple, and we went out there, and we, about 50 of us. And right at the beginning, we were having some problem with a couple of two or three young people, or I was. And I, right away, I knew God was going to do something that week. When the enemy starts off early, shows his hand, guess what? The fist of God is going to come and break through. You know. Well, I think what happened was one of the girls on the team was feeling ill. She was part of the cookery team and she wasn't feeling well, and so we prayed for her. And the power of God just hit her. Boom, down she went. The young pastor, one of the young pastors who was with us, is that still on? Okay, good. The young pastor that was with us, he was one of the preachers. Well, literally, he was born into the Assemblies. I think he was conceived in the Assemblies of God, born in the Assemblies of God, went to Battersea Bible College and became a pastor in the Assemblies of God, basically. And I remember him saying to this girl, he said, "What's it like to go down in the power of the Spirit?" He said, "It's never happened to me." He's about 25. Thinking, "Where have you been? Where have you been all your life?" Well, the senior minister, a day later, went to him. He was due to preach on the Thursday night. He was due to preach. And the senior minister that was there came up to him and said, "You're not preaching tonight." He said, "I am. I mean, I was there." I saw him. He said, "No, you're not." And that's all he said. So we had a great time of praise and worship, and we just sort of stood there after as we'd worshipped, and we just held hands and said, "Let's just wait on God and just stand in His presence." And so folk were just holding hands, and we were just standing there in the presence. The musicians had left and gone and sat down in the congregation, and I said, "You know, no sound. Let's just wait in the presence. Just let's stand there." And I remember it to this day. And in fact, it wasn't only me that heard it. We went for a meal with somebody just some time back, and they brought up the same meeting. It shows you the impact that this meeting had on people's lives. And all of a sudden, there was a drum roll. And I opened my eyes. I thought, "What is that?" You know, I was about to give the drummer an earful, or the dead eye, as I could in those days as a youth leader. I could just look at them and they'd go, "Oh no, he's going to get me later," you know. And I looked. There was nobody on the drums. And I went, "Whoa, okay, something is about to happen." So we waited. And then all of a sudden, somebody started to pray. And they prayed for 5 minutes. And I thought, "Who is it?" I sort of didn't recognize the voice. And they continued to pray. And I thought, I did the thing I tell everybody not to do. I had to turn around. And this person was praying with their hands in the air. And they prayed for 10 minutes. They might think, "Well, that's nothing, Andrew, that." Well, no. But if you'd have asked this person, "Would you open in prayer?" they'd have turned around and said to you, "No way. Not a chance would you hear their voice singly." So it was a wow, this is God. And then the presence of God just continued to increase and increase. There was a young man who was playing with a Ouija board and the occult things. And all of a sudden he was just about climbing the walls trying to escape out the building. 3 of us tried to hold him down. There was one of our lady staff members sat on a chair. Her body was there, but she wasn't there. She was in the presence of God. She'd gone to the third heaven. Because what happened was her chair somehow would end up banging in front of the door. And this young man just came down. He picked the chair up with her on it. And 3 of us were pushing him down, and he literally picked the chair up like it was matchstick, moved it to one side, ripped the door open and just ran out screaming. So I just said, "Let him go. God's doing something in here." I saw young people being moved upon by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody prayed for one of them. But the touch of the Spirit began to move. Presence of a living God moving. That meeting finished at 2:30 a.m. having started at 7:30 p.m. Young people, they want to go and do things, don't they? No. There was such a presence of God. The next morning, 6:30, my prayer group was in that same room. I was up first for that. I walked and I opened the door and I went, "Whoa." And there was a tangible presence. presence of God. I could feel something, yet I could not see it. Previously, we'd been to Israel, and we'd been in the Dead Sea. Water, you can't really feel it and hold it. You know it's there, but you know. But the Dead Sea has, there's just something about it. I don't know how to explain. I can't explain this, but there was something there that I could feel and touch, but did not see. The only thing that came to mind was, it was like in Solomon's time when he dedicated the temple, that the train of the Lord filled the temple. And I just said, Father, you've not left, have you? And the meetings went on, and the power of God came down time after time after time. Put me out for 5 hours. Totally legless. For 5 hours. In the presence of God. And I journeyed a journey. I saw things in my future. And I journeyed a journey. I'm not making these things up. But what I'm trying to do is to... I'm going to go back to these scriptures in a minute. But what I'm trying to do is to say to you today in the church, there is a tangible presence of God that we, as the churches, have lost out on. There is a presence of a living God. God wants His church back. I don't care how loud the music is. I don't care how many songs you sing. God wants His church back to bring true worship and to honor Him. Because it is in that true worship and in the honoring of God that the power and the very presence of the Almighty shall be seen. And if we're not careful, the church has gone and done exactly what David did. When he brought the ark back from the Philistines, they had it on a cart. I'll stick it on a cart. And he brought it on a cart, and then it was about to fall off. One of the men reached out. The moment he touched it, he died. David had to seek the Lord and realize he had to bring it back on the shoulders of the priesthood. And it's time that we, as the priesthood of God, brought in the ark of God. Amen. The Christ. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't, you know, the Bible says, be ye separate from the world. He said, be the light of the world. Be the, I spoke a few weeks ago, be the salt. We don't take our standards from the world. We take our standards from the Word of God. We don't take the way we live from what the world says we can live by. We take it from the Word of God. We have to tune our spirit to hear God speak to us. I am passionate about what I believe. This is my desire to honor God. I tell the stories that I might honor Jesus. I tell the stories that I might encourage others that it's only Andrew. It's only Andrew. And if God can use Andrew, He can use you. He can use you. All you need to do is have the desire. Get into this Word. Say, God, speak to me. Reveal Yourself to me. Empower me, Lord, through Your Word. Through the Spirit. What was the apostle doing when he took cloths and handkerchiefs and praying over them? He was catching hold of something of the Holy Spirit, and he was imparting the presence and the power of God in the handkerchief. And in that cloth was something of the presence of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Some of you might say, I don't believe that, Andrew. I don't believe that praying over a cloth could do anything. I'll help you. There was a woman with an issue of blood. And she said, if I can just touch the edge of his garment, I will be healed. It was unlawful for her to be in the crowd, but only one thing that drove her. There was such a desire,
yes,
to touch the hem of his garment, and I shall be healed. And she pushed her way through. And there were many people touching Jesus all the time. They were just rubbing against him. But none of them had a desire like she had a desire. None of them felt the power. The power never left Jesus. How do I know that? Because he would have said something. But he said, when this woman suddenly grabbed the edge of his garment, and she was on the floor, she was in the dirt, and Jesus said, somebody's touched me. And what I've told you is true, because the disciples said, look, come on Jesus, give us a break. I mean, everybody's doing this, and you know, everybody's trying to touch you, you know. He's a celebrity. That's all he was to them. To this woman, he was the Son of God. He was the healer. He was the one who would set her free after 12 years of agony and pain and loss and financial sacrifice of everything. She was broke. And the only thing she had left was hope and a desire to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus said, somebody touch me. She finally stood up and said, it was me. He said, woman, your faith has made you well. Church. The church needs to be a church of faith and not just a church of songs. It's not a church of entertainment, it's a church of power. It's not a church of just fancy words. It's a church on the Word of God. That the structure and the very presence of the church is built on the very Word and the very promises and the very power of God's Word. And if you put anything else in its place, then you're offering false sacrifices. You're bringing offerings to God that God never required. There is a tangibility of the very presence of God. I've even had it where I've been in meetings and just gone up to somebody in the very presence of God. I've hit them before I've even reached out to them. God wants each and every one of us to carry that anointed presence. It's not for Andrew. It's not for leadership. My responsibility, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for their work. Each and every one of you, you're not called to come and sit in chairs. You're called to come. You're called to come to worship God. You're called to come and get a deeper grasping of the Word, a deeper sense of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, to be built up in your most holy faith and to go out there and wreak havoc in the devil's territory. That's what you're called to do. You're not here to be entertained. You're here to be empowered. And if you come for entertainment, you've come to the wrong place. Because I'm not here to entertain you. I want to empower, inspire, infuse you, help equip you. When we went out to Romania, we were there praying for sick people, praying that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We were called out. The pastor says to me, Andrew, he usually gives me free rein, just preach what you want to preach. I did the first session, and then he said to me, Andrew, please, teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I went, oh, okay, I haven't done that in a long time. We began to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. These people were hungry. God sent us 10 years ago to begin to smash down the system of religiousness. In Jesus' name. I'm a wrecking ball. I'm a wrecking ball. That's what I'm called to be. When I go some places, I leave a mess after me. I leave a mess. Some folks say, don't invite him again. Whatever you do, don't invite him again. You know, we're not having him. That's okay. I go where I'm welcomed. Where the Spirit of God is welcome. If God's not welcome, then I'm not welcome. Simple as that. I ain't going. I've been invited places and I know God's not welcome, so I'm not going. But in Romania, they keep wanting us back. They want more and more. Just to see this presence and the Spirit of God moving and people begin to prophesy, speak in tongues. Pastor said to me, Andrew, I've never heard ministry of the Holy Spirit like that before. And I'm like, wow, that's praise indeed. I thought, thank you, but all praise be to God. But I said to the folk, you know, some of them are very timid. The women are very much put down. And I said to them, listen, I said, even when we're gone, I said, some of you in your bedrooms will be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I said, just because we've gone, that's not over. We've laid the foundation. We've laid hands on you. It will happen. Yeah. 3 or 4 days later, a very shy, timid lady that we know has been at the church for years, the pastor's son sends me a message. You remember this lady? I said, yeah. Well, she woke up in her bed. She dreamt she was drinking from a well. And she woke up and suddenly started to speak in tongues. And she couldn't stop. She could not stop. And she's the shy, timid type. And I'm thinking, yes, Lord, yes. That's what it's about. My God is an awesome God. My God is an all-powerful God. My God is a loving God. And my God has come to set captives free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, there's that verse of Scripture from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, should I say, chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things. Not some things. Not some things. All. Wow. Some of you say, well, I can't do much. Well, I'll tell you what. God says you can do all things. Don't care what your education is. God supersedes education. Don't care whether you've been to college, university, or whether you've never been at all. Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. He said he will put his thoughts into our hearts. He will write them in us. He said, I'll give you words that you've to speak to people that you've not even thought about. And that's happened to me many times. When Stacey was here last year, 12 months ago, I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden God gave me a word for her. And I didn't even know her. I hardly knew her name. And she's like, how did he know that? I didn't. But he that is lives within me, he knew it. And he revealed it. It is the Christ that dwells within us. The Christ that lives and dwells within us. He has come to inhabit earthen vessels to build his church. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 8, it tells us there, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. In verse 8 it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the very beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest. Is he manifest in you? Oh, let the Son of Man be made manifest in us. When somebody sees us, a strange thing. Whoa! What is it about you? There's something different. Yes, it is the Christ who dwells and lives within me that is revealing himself to you. We're created in his image. We are to be Christ-like. The Christ lives within you. The Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, if Jesus is living in us, then one of our commissions is to destroy the works of the devil. Bring him down. Where is he? He's underneath our feet. Just, you know, grinding down in the name of Jesus. Do not be afraid of the devil. If you're in the Word of God, if Christ is in you, there is no fear. I was a shy, timid child. I wouldn't stand here when I was a 8, 10 year old or a teenager. And then when God called me into the ministry, oh, wow, I used to wear toilets out. All the day, on that day, preparing, you know, well, not preparing, I'd been preparing a week. And then suddenly, it's like the day, I'm like, oh, I've got to go to the toilet. You know, oh, I had butterflies as big as elephant ears. But the Christ, who dwells within us, makes us strong. Go in the strength of the Lord. Go in his might. Go in his power. Verse 8 says that when the people kept on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. My God is a destroyer. My God is a destroyer. He is a destroying power. He destroys the devil. He destroys sickness. He destroys disease. He destroys captivity and brings freedom through the name of Jesus Christ. This is my God. This is my Lord. This is my Savior. And to the end of this year, as we move and we prepare to move in 2019, let Jesus be the Lord. Let every desire that we ever have be firstly for Jesus. Let his presence and his power be seen in each and every one of us. Be people who are willing to reach out. Be like Peter when Jesus said, come on, come to me. And he stepped on the word, come. He didn't walk on water. He walked on the word of God. He walked on that command, come. And he stood on the promise. Come on, Peter, come. And whilst you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will walk on that word. You see, the moment he took his eyes off the word, Jesus, and put his eyes on the worldly circumstances, it says he began to think. Thank God we have a gracious Lord and Saviour. He reached out and grabbed hold of him and he lifted him up. And both Jesus and Peter walked on that very promise back to the boat. Hallelujah. Amen. The promise of being able to stand on the word of God and the promises of God. I want to encourage you. The promises that God has given you, if you will stay faithful to him, they will come to pass. There will be battles along the way. There will be problems and difficulties. That does not change the promise. That does not change the word of God. He is well able to do far more abundantly than all we can ever ask or think. Come on, church. Believe and press in. And in 2019, begin to expect and receive the miracles and the promises of God for 2019. Amen. Amen. Let's see the promises being fulfilled in our lives, and let's touch this area, change this area for the kingdom and for the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And don't let the devil bring doubt and fear and unbelief, but stand on the promises. Hold fast to the truths of the word of God and say, God said. God said. God said. God said. Hallelujah. Praise God. If God said it, he's going to do it. And if the devil seeks to get in the way, he better watch out. Because when the hand of God sweeps over him, he's finished. Praise his name. I am the Lord that heals you. I am the one who's come to set you free. Jesus is his name. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, comes with healing in his wings. Lord bless you. May God empower you, and may, as we dash rapidly to the end of this year, rededicate our lives for service unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make a fresh commitment and dedication. I remember the Billy Graham Crusades, and one of the songs they used to sing was, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee. And then we used to sing, I come, I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming, Lord, come to thee, I am. Put your hands in the hand of the I am.